Good evening, class. Today, this evening, this afternoon, we're going to begin another aspect of the teaching. I know we were in chapter 12 last week, but this week I feel that I need to go to chapter 13. I'm trying to cover as much information that time allows me in this book. You know, we're not going to be able to cover the whole book. But what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to cover some of the most important aspects of this book. I've been through the book several times, and this is a subject here that I think the church world needs, every student of the Bible needs, and it's going to help us to understand preparation for ministry. Well, we're going to see three aspects of Moses here. We're going to see Moses prior to his assignment. We're going to see the preparational period of his assignment. And we're going to see the challenging of his assignment. If you call by God, your assignment is going to be challenged. And you're going to have to know how to deal with these challenges when they come. So we're going to call this, I'm not calling it, Brother Nee calling it, the primary credential for delegated authorities is revelation. That's chapter 13 in your book. And I'm going to do a pretty much a good bit of reading here, class. But I want to pay close attention. We're going to begin reading Exodus 3 and 3, all the way to verse 12. You can either follow in your Bible or follow in your textbook. But I'll be using the King James Version instead of the Darby translation that Brother Nee normally uses. But it's pretty much the same translation, just a few words changed, some modern English words. Begin at verse 3 here. And said, Moses said, I will now turn aside and see the great sight, why the bush is not burnt. But what had happened is Moses was on the backside of the mountain, and he was there because prior to that, Moses in his youthful age, when I say youthful age, I mean when he was under Pharaoh's authority, he looked out into the fields, and he saw an Egyptian mishandling a Israelite. And after he found out that the Israelite was his people, and it became known to him who he was, his heritage, he went and tried to make a correction, and he ended up slewing the Egyptian. And he thought he was doing God a favor. He thought he was doing the Israelite a favor, but the Israelite turned against Moses because he saw two brothers striving against each other. Read this, read the book of Exodus sometime. He saw two brothers striving against each other, and he tried to correct them. He said, no, brothers ain't supposed to fight against each other, because he knew that they were getting enough torment by the Egyptian. And so they turned against him. They said, you're going to do it like he did the Egyptian? Well, he thought he had slew the Egyptian and covered it up. He thought he had done it promptly, no one knew, but they knew that he slew the Egyptian. So what happened now, that Moses flee into to Midian. That's where he met his wife and everything. And so he stayed on the backside of the mountain in Midian for 40 years that God used for preparation time. 40 years of preparation time. Think about that. And you're concerned with your couple of years, and you think God ain't going to do nothing with you. But Moses was 40 years in preparation. Now, he didn't know what God was going to do, but God knew what he was going to do. You hear what I say, statement? Hear that statement I just made, class. Moses didn't know God was going to call him to be a deliverer for the children of Israel. But God knew what he was going to do. God always knew what he's going to do. And so with that, I'm trying to bring you up to speed here, so to this third chapter of Exodus. So when we begin to read, you're going to know exactly what we're talking about. So God had pre-prepared Moses for his delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt. But during those 40 years, let me tell you, Claire, during those 40 years, during your time that you think God ain't doing nothing with you, God is preparing you. God is putting some stuff in you. God is taking some stuff out of you. And you might not be aware of it, but every test, every trial, every temptation, everything look like it's a backset. Everything look like it's an upset. Everything look like it's against you. So God will use that for preparation time. Moses had his challenges for those 40 years. Moses had personal challenges with his personality. Moses had some humiliating moments, I'm sure, in his preparation time. And God had to put some things in his heart. God had to humble him. God had to make him into a brand new man so he can use him. God got to make you into a brand new person sometimes so he can use you. Make it to a brand new woman, a brand new man. Take some things out. Do spiritual surgery to you sometime to prepare you to do what he wants you to do. So every test, trial, tribulation, every accusation made against you, everything that comes against you is preparation time. And how you handle it depends on how far God can use you. I'm going to say that one more time. How you handle the preparation depends on how far God can use you. Some people never go to the full fruition of their call because they never went to full preparation of their preparedness time with God. No, they get in a hurry sometimes and won't put things before their preparation. Sometimes they don't want to be corrected. Sometimes they don't want to be challenged. And so they're missing great opportunities on preparation time that God has for all for his children. Can you hear me, Claire? Can you hear me? All right, now let's go back to verse 4 again now. And when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to see. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. Now, I know that was a burning bush in verse 3. And said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Now, remember, this is 40 years later. Moses was 80 years old right now. He was 40 years old when he left Egypt. And now, 40 years later, God called him. Sometimes people think because they get a certain age that God can't use them. No, Moses just matured enough spiritually, matured enough just where God can put some things in him. Are you with me, Claire? Just where he can settle down enough to be able to talk to him and put his plans and purposes in him. So don't you get discouraged because you look like you've been waiting a little while. No. God's timing is not our timing. Are you hearing me? And he said, after Moses, here I am, fifth verse said, and he said, draw not thy hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is what? Is what, Claire? Holy ground. It's holy ground. Why? Because God's presence was there. Anywhere God's presence is, become holy. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Did you think for one moment that Moses expected a voice to come out of the burning bush? No, I think not. Moses had no idea about what God was saying or what God was doing through this supernatural burning bush that would burn on the side of the mountain that the fire wouldn't burn it up. It was supernatural. You see, it's super apostle teaching in the LTMA meeting on the supernatural. And I hope you were listening to these classes. He's teaching on the supernatural. God always functions to the supernatural. Anytime God deals with any one of his children in a way that deals with his work, it becomes a supernatural transaction. And so there was a supernatural transaction that God was dealing with Moses. He had to show himself supernatural because he's a supernatural God. Amen. I'm still on fire from this meeting Friday. And you should still be on fire yourself. Sixth verse. Moreover, he said, I'm the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. My goodness. Why? Because God's presence was there. Why? I said because God's presence was there. 7 verse 8, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. Yeah, God sees everything. But God sees everything. Well, you say, well, why did God wait so long? The children been going through suffering. They've been going through mistreatment of the taskmaster. They've been being misused. Yeah, but God always has a plan. God don't work like we work. God don't think like human beings think. God thinks supernatural. God always have a purpose and a time for that purpose to be fulfilled. In your life, you can't just do things when you want to do it in ministry. No, God has a set time and a purpose. God knows when everything is right. God knows when everything is ready. God knows you don't serve the wine until it's time. You ever heard that statement? Well, God ain't serving nothing until it's time. Yep, he sure not. He sure not. 8 verse says, and I am come. Who said that? God said that. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptian. Well, I thought Moses was going to do it. No, God's going to do it through Moses. He said, I am come, glad, to deliver the children out of Egypt. Well, I thought Moses was doing it. God was working through Moses. God was setting Moses up as his delegated authority. God had already in mind what he was going to do with Moses, and all he needed Moses to do was just to follow his plan and to be obedient to him. But before he could do that, God had to put some things in Moses. Why? Because God knew what Moses was going to be confronted with. And God knew the challenges he was going to be confronted with. So even in your ministry, God knows the thing you're going to be confronted with. God knows what thing you have need of in you before you do. And so when you need him, God have already played that training in you. So don't take none of these classes like the class, because everything you're hearing, everything you're seeing, everything you're understanding, everything you're experiencing, is to face some of the challenges that God knows you're going to be challenged by in ministry. So understand as well, in your training time, let there be no idle time in your training. Every moment of time, it should not be idle, because it's part of the training. Every situation, from now on, understand, every situation I go through, everything seems like a problem. It's part of the training. God trying to either put some things in you or take some things out of you. Every experience is part of the training. God will know how you're going to react and what your emotion is going to do. Because he got to deal with your emotion, your action, and everything. Amen. I hope you hear me, class, because the whole truth, nothing but the truth will help us, God. Now look what that 8th verse says. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the places of the Canaanites and of the Hittites and the Amorites and of the Perizzites and of the Hivites and the Jebusites. That's a lot of sites, ain't it? But I tell you what, God knew what he was going to do. And I want you to know something. When I was reading this, and I was studying it this morning, I want you to know that each one of those lands he's talking about, Jebusites, Hittites, the Amorites, you see, all that was people that God was going to have to defeat, because they were holding God's possession. You see, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, they were all holding their inheritance. Who inherited? Israel inherited. They all had their stuff. You see, so it got people that right now holding our stuff. That's God. We got to go in, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the judge. They're holding our stuff, and we got to go in and allow God to work in us, so the wealth of the wicked can be laid up, and we can take our inheritance. We still got inheritance to get. Apostle assigned to teach us, and that's why we got to be listening. You heard me, class? You got to be doing what? Got to be listening, I say. Now, therefore, 9th verse, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherein the Egyptian oppressed them. Don't you know that God knows what you're going through? God saw the oppression for years. God saw the oppression. A generation passed through the oppression. You see? But God is long-suffering, and God is patient. and God knows the right time to deal with something. You see it? So don't think God forgotten you. God knows just how to deal with it. So 10 verse says, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. I saw a very important thing here. I should bring forth my people. See, sometimes you can't hold claim. You cannot hold claim. You see, that's God's people. And God deal with his people the way he needs to deal with them. Sometimes we get so caught up in authority, we think that's your people. You see it? See how he apostles you all the time. You see, this is God's church. This is God's church. In other words, this is God's people. And he leads them and directs them according to how God directs him. He'll change in a moment. He'll turn on a dime and give you 9 cent change. But I tell you the whole truth. And see, he knows how to listen to the Holy Ghost. And that's how you bring the body of Christ, the local body, and now God got to work with the larger body to a place where God is leading them and preparing them for these last days. Now that 10 verse says, come now, therefore, and I will send thee, I'm reading again, unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people. It's God's people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. He said that to Moses to know that, Lord, that you just do what I said because it's my people. Don't get too attached to people. But that's something Apostle taught us years ago. Never get too attached to people. He told us many years ago, he said, always keep an arm's length apart. You see, don't get too close to nobody. You get too close sometimes, then when God wants you to correct them, you can't correct them. You ain't got too buddy-buddy with people. If you're in leadership position and your pastor tells you to go make a correction under his authority, by God's authority, then you can't make that correction because you didn't got too buddy-buddy with them. Then you got too close to them. You see, always know how to separate yourself when you're in authority and know that that's God's people. Yeah, you might befriend them, but that's God's people. Amen. What did I say? That's God's people. All right. Now, here's another instance now. Now I illustrate before Moses got the calling, when he was still in Egypt under Pharaoh's authority, when he slew the Egyptian, and then he was a different person. He was a different person before he went to the Midian. Control the medium. Yeah, because he had not learned how to control his flesh. And so he was being led by his flesh and emotion. And that would cause him to do that. But God knew that he was the man he could use. See, sometimes God knows you before you know you. And he knows what's in you. He knows what you're capable of doing now. And he knows what you're capable of doing later if you choose to follow his instruction. Now, let's move on to the next phase of Moses' ministry, Numbers 12. We're going to see another instance now. Now Moses has delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, and now they're on their way to the promised land, on the way to Canaan. And now going in the wilderness, he began to meet a challenge. And the first challenge he met was his family. And noted that God's going to have to deal with Miriam now. And Numbers 12 and 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Well, some say Ethiopian woman was a black woman. And some of them say there was a racial issue and all that. I don't understand. Matter of fact, I don't know too much about all that. But I know that it was not their spiritual business. They didn't know that there was spiritual here, what God was dealing with. With Moses, and when they began to mess with God's business, they began to mess with God. You see it? Because they didn't know how critical this was here to interfere with what God was doing. And the next verse said, and they said, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not spoken also by us? What they thought? God used Miriam a few times. He called her a prophetess in one of the scriptures that Miriam sang prophetic song, and God may have used her from time to time, but God didn't call her to do what he told Moses to do. And sometimes because people are older in age, they think they're more experienced, they think they know better than you, because they have some background history, because they experienced certain things and they figured, you know, you younger than him, you still my little brother. Still, sometimes I feared that in my life. I'm the baby out of 11. And sometimes being a little brother, you don't get that respect that you should get as the minister because they see you in the flesh. But Miriam could not deal with Moses to the flesh. And that what God was trying to put across to Miriam. You can't deal with Moses to the flesh. Even though that's your sister, even though that's your brother, you can't deal with him from a brother to sister basis. No, he's my delegated authority now. You got to deal with him from a different facet now. He's your authority. But they didn't understand that, but God had to spiritually do something spiritually. God had to cut her real hard. God had to correct her real hard. Because he knew if your family not with you, now how are these other people gonna handle you? You see it? So he had to make some correction here. And that second verse, we talk about Miriam, but I didn't get through with the whole thing yet. She said, had the Lord only spoken by Moses, had he not spoken also by us? Here's the last part. And the Lord heard it. You see, sometimes people think God is hard of hearing. Sometimes you think he's limited. His ears are limited to just heaven. No, everything belongs to God. Heaven and earth belong to God. The Bible says earth is his footstool. See, heaven is his throne, earth is his footstool. And God eavesdrops on everything we do and hear and say. You know, that old statement, you can run but you can't hide. Sometimes people think God don't see all your actions, but God judges you by everything. Everything has to be judged by God. And know who I say got to be judged by? Who I say got to be judged by? Got to be judged by God. And God had to deal with Miriam. And God still told Miriam, if Moses did make a mistake, it's up to me to do the correcting, not you. You're not a place to correct him because he's under my authority. He ain't your little brother now. Now he's my servant. See, the roles change. He's not just your little brother, he's my servant. What I say? He's not just your little brother. See, the roles have changed. He's my servant. It's a twofold relationship here. And The church got to see the twofold relationship that Moses had with God and he had with Miriam and Moses. Now they put this in parentheses here. See, because this is the amplification. It being explained, God explaining what Moses was like here to sort of like help us to understand why he dealt with this like he dealt with it. This is some of the things happened behind the mountain here. This is some of his training in effect here. You see, this wasn't Moses at the beginning. This is Moses doing the process of God using him. See, in the parenthesis here, now the man Moses was very meek. See, Moses wasn't always very meek. Why? Moses was reared up under Pharaoh. Moses had everything. So financially, Moses was well taken care of. Moses was highly esteemed above the people. You know, Moses said, I can't speak. Well, Moses was very educated in the natural, but in the supernatural, in the spirit, he became dumb. You see? Why? Because he respected God so much, he dared not speak out of turn. He dared not say too much. You see it? You see, some go forward say Moses has a stutter. See, I don't know about all the technical part of that because I don't have any information to back it on no more than what the theologian said. But I believe when Moses got into the presence of God, he become dumb. What do you mean become dumb? Become not able to say what he want to say. He become dead to himself. Dead to his own words, dead to his own feeling, dead to his own emotion, and all he want to do is obey God and please God. So you better off just being dumb. I don't mean dumb like don't know anything. I'm talking about dumb where you don't want to say the wrong thing. Are you with me? Are you with me, Clem? I hope you're with me. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses. Now, let me finish reading this 30 verse. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Now that covered a lot of people. In other words, God spanned the whole globe to find Moses. Isn't that something? God spanned the whole universe to find a Moses. My goodness, someone he can deliver, the children of Israel. How many people, wow, I'm about to say something now. How many people God had to go through to find you? Isn't that something? But look, but I'm going to tell you something else. I'm going to tell you another secret that I kept reading. You know, in that third chapter of Exodus, I kept reading the fourth chapter, and I kept reading the fifth chapter. Sometimes it ain't good to stop reading. I kept reading the fourth and fifth chapter. Well, when I got down to the fourth chapter, what happened when Moses was coming out of Midian, and he was headed to God gave him the instruction. See, Moses waited for instruction. God gave Moses, I'm watching the clock, Claire, too. God gave Moses instruction to when he come out of, when he go to Egypt, Moses gathered his family and he told his father-in-law he was going, took his wife and his son. But when he was headed toward Egypt, they say he came to an inn, I-N-N. I don't know if that was to rest for a while or what. But the Bible said God was going to kill Moses. He was going to kill Moses. Well, I read behind some of the theologians because I was trying to figure out why God wanted to kill Moses. He wanted to kill Moses. And then he goes on to talk about he had one of his boys. What you call that again? Circumcised. One of his boys, he had to circumcise. His wife took the boy and cut the foreskin off of him and threw it at Moses' feet. You see it? And she talked about how the blood was upon Moses. But God was going to kill Moses. And I said, why would God interrupt this whole thing with a situation like this? He was about to kill Moses. And yes, he just got to calling Moses. He just called Moses on the mountain with the fire and told him that he was going to use him to deliver the children out of Israel. Moses went and forth and said, Lord, well, who the people going to stay and send them? He said, tell them I am that I am. God took Moses through all that to introduce him to how he was going to deliver the children out of Egypt. God told him about the rod. God told him everything. But yet God was going to kill Moses. I said, you put all this in him, and now you're going to kill him. Well, I don't know about all that, but theologian, but the circumcision, I don't know what all the pertain to that, because the Bible don't talk too much about the whole thing. Got one verse just kind of separate that, but killing Moses. But I think I know what it is without any theologian. God, I think God will let Moses know, yeah, I call you, but I still can do without you. My goodness, that's what I said too. I said, my goodness. God said, I call you, but if I have to, I can use somebody else now. You're not my only source. I can raise up somebody else just like I raised you up. So you're not indispensable, indisposable. I don't know which word to use best. You're not the only one that God can use. So don't get high-headed and high-minded and high on a horse. Think that you're the only one God can use, because God got many people he can use. He just happened to show Moses. You see, he couldn't went to the second meekest one. He couldn't went to the third meekest one. He couldn't went to the fourth meekest one. God used whoever you want to use, man. So that's why I don't want to get you caught up thinking you're the only one God can use. Don't always think you're irreplaceable. Yep, if your pastor, your pastor can do without you. You ain't that valuable where he can't replace you. You see it? He can rise somebody else up just like he raised you up. So don't think you all that. See, always think yourself according to Romans 12 and 3. Don't think yourself more highly than you ought to think. But see, that was God put in Moses. But think soberly as God delivered to every man the same measure of faith. Think soberly. Now, see, Moses, I see all that, see this. Back on the backside of that mountain in Midian, God was putting a certain humility in Moses. He was taking the character that he didn't like in Moses out of Moses. He was changing the atmosphere so when he had to deal with Moses, he could deal with Moses. Are you with me? You see, sometimes God can't deal with certain people. They get offended so easily that God can't deal with them. And so God got to put some things in them where they can deal with people. If you can't deal with four at your house, how are you going to deal with 4,000? You can't deal with the five in the family at your house. How are you going to deal with 5,000? I hope you understand. So God is always preparing us for more than we see. You see it? You see it? Are you with me, class? So God had to deal with Moses, but on the backside of the mountain. God had to deal with him, and God deal with him before he had to come on the front side of the mountain. God had to deal with him before he go to Mount Sinai. You see it? God had to deal with him before he go to Pharaoh. You see it? So God could know how Moses know how to carry himself a certain way. So class, God is putting in and taking out. He's cutting some things out and sewing some things back. He always do surgery. God is doing surgery on you. God is doing something to make you what you ought to be. I like that scripture. That's the scripture. Let me see what the scripture is. Not James. Talking about God make you what you ought to be. I know it's in the Bible, class. I know it's in the Bible. Yes, it is. 1 Peter 5:7. Read that. I'm not going through it. 1 Peter 6:7, 8, and 9. It talks about that God may make you what you ought to be. There are some things you ought to be that God know you ought to be, but he got to take you through some of the, I don't know if it's going to take you 40 years. I don't know how long it's going to take you for God to get you where he wanted to get you, where God can use you, where he wanted to use you, and God can use you for the long haul. Moses went for the long haul, but oh my goodness, I didn't know I was going to go here. You see, God wanted to use you for the long haul, but with all the training, Moses got to the place where God told him, speak to the rock. Yeah, I'm getting here in the lesson. We're going to get there sometime before the class is over with. They got so contrary, clan. Just like people get contrary in this earth realm. They got so contrary. Moses got fell up. One time he said, Lord, kill me. Kill me. Slay me. Shoot me. Get me out of here. I can't deal with these contrary people. But one time he got contrary to people crying for water. See, you took us out here to starve, and you took us out here to thirst to death. At least we in Egypt, we had this and that. And then God told Moses, speak to the rock. And Moses struck the rock. And God said, Moses, because of this, I can't let you see the promised land. I'm going to let somebody else gonna take. See, all God over here, somebody in the bush. He had to let Joshua take him over to inherit the land. He could not cross that river. Took him all the way to the banks of the Jordan and told Moses, you can't cross it. My goodness, I don't want to go so far and not finish my course. Yeah, God used Moses for a long run, but always stay within yourself. Always stay where God can use you. Yeah, that's the lesson for us. Yeah, don't never get what that word is. That's the word, my dictionary. My level of words ain't always, choice of words always ain't present. Don't we get too locked down, too satisfied, and think that you're gonna do what you want to do after a while. Don't ever think that, class, because God always, if you don't finish it, God always got somebody who's going to finish it for him. Are you with me? Now, let me go on now. I ain't got to the first point yet. See, I see a pastor do it all the time. He said, I ain't got to my notes yet. Well, I ain't got to my notes yet. I'm still in introduction here. Yeah, I'm introducing what's going on here with Miriam now. But I'm going to go back to Miriam. I got a couple minutes left. Go back to Miriam. But are you with me, class? But God, full verse, and God spoke suddenly. I'm going back to this now. I can't think of that word. Just forget. Forget I even mentioned it. I couldn't think of the word. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam and said, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. Now, I always get stuck right here. I always get stuck here because because God called three of them out. And see, so sometimes people think they're so right. People get hung up on right, R-I-G-H-T. And so they thought it was so right. Who? Miriam and Aaron. Why? Because it seemed like they had grounds to say what they say. Sometimes people say things because they think they got ground to say it. Just because you got ground to say it, that's not natural ground. That doesn't mean you're right. You see, because Moses was the baby brother here, you see. And Miriam thought you were right. You know when God can speak to? So they thought, honestly, I believe sometimes they thought God was going to correct Moses. I thought they probably think God on my side. No, not necessarily so. You see God ain't on. So what's that? I always think about this class. I watch a little football sometimes. Sometimes people say, what team you want? I say, I'm for every and whatever team winning. If what I call my team losing, I jump to the other side. I find out who winning. Then that's who I go with. But my point is this. Sometimes team, they go to praying, and everybody praying to win. Well, why? You think God concerned about who win in football? So each one of them praying against each other. So I guess my point is sometimes you praying, thinking I'm right, and the other one thinking they're right. You see, but God ain't for who right sometimes. Who think they're right in their own understanding. God with his will. God said, does this pertain to my will? That would make the person right. Whatever line up with my word, whatever line up with my will, that's right. And so Miriam and Aaron thinking because God called them three unto the tabernacle, they thought God was going to deal with Moses and say, God going to set this thing straight because God called all three of us out. Not necessarily so, Clem. Not necessarily so. That stick verse there, and he said, hear now. So, no, that fifth verse there, he called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. Sixth verse there, he said, hear now my word. Now, what that mean? That mean, class, God said, I've heard your word. You seem to have much to say. Now, hear my word. Now, notice here. Notice here, class, that Moses never spoke a word. Yet they're coming against Moses, the one they're accusing, the one being challenged in the authority, never spoke a word. I found out he didn't speak a word because vindication comes from God. God, let God vindicate you. Don't never try to, just sometimes just shut up and be quiet. Let God vindicate you. It's not about whether you're being right or whether you're proving yourself right. Let God vindicate you. And so, and then God's hearing not my word. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him. In a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. You see, that's how God did with the prophet. You see it? But God's saying to me, Moses is more than a prophet. You see it? Because if you speak to in a dream and a vision to a prophet, but God said in that next verse, but my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, and even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the law shall he behold. Well, then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses, and the anger of the Lord? I'm hurting because my time is getting close. And the anger of the Lord, you see it? And the what? And the anger of the Lord will kindle against them. And he departed. When God departed, guess what happened? And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon her, and behold, she was leprous. Well, class, that's the farthest I can go. But my point is this, and maybe we might take it from here, but we're probably going to get in the notes next class. But the point of this is vindication comes from God. And something happened here that we're going to discuss next class. Something happened. What we're going to discuss is how Moses dealt with the situation. So, class, as far as I can go, I want you to go in peace and begin. Read Exodus. Read the third chapter. Read the fourth chapter. Matter of fact, get a chance, spend some time, read the whole book of Exodus and see what God did with Moses. Amen. Go in peace, class. You was a good class. You're listening good. Amen.